Well, it's almost here. I mean, we're about ready to kill each other upstairs. We just got out of a pretty good meeting, and we'll continue today and tomorrow. But before we get started, a couple things I want to mention. Again, the work and effort that our scouts put into this, our trainers, our doctors, our medical staff, all our support staff, consultants that we use from our psychological testing. We really took another step forward this year from the analytics, and we really grew that department in how we're looking and analyzing some things. I can't thank enough Jamal Stevenson and his first time running those meetings as our college director. Things went very smooth. He was very in command of the room as far as getting everything organized. I got to give a lot of credit to Scott Studwell, too, for everything he's done to make that transition as smooth as it could possibly be. Studs, as you all know, a very unique individual and a guy who wanted to take a step back but then stepped up to make sure everything was as smooth of a transition as you can go when you make that kind of change. And George Payton and everything he does for me and is a great sounding board. Next, people, is I can't tell you how hard this coaching staff has worked at this. And Coach Zimmer and his staff, we started out when they first started this process down at the Senior Bowl with the evaluation and the interview process, and then at the Combine. Then all these coaches going out to these pro days, getting in front of these kids, making sure that these are the right type of players that we want, not only from a character standpoint, but from a schematic standpoint. And then coming back in, we met six straight days with our coaching staff and all of our scouts in one room. We went probably anywhere from 12 to 14 hours a day straight. After we got through that process, we brought our medical staff in after the rechecks and listened to what our medical staff, and they, you know, they're going to, we call Shugs the dream breaker because he comes in and breaks a lot of hearts. So it's not for his looks, but I can't say that. but it's a very important part because there are guys that we potentially have graded very high in this draft class. And when they come in and tell us that he's a no take, then he's the guy that comes off our board. we spent a lot of time with going through some of these guys that are potential character or problem guys that you have read about. We spent time with them here in Minnesota. We spent time with them out of campus. We want to make sure these guys that have potential character issues, if they're going to be a fit or not. And I feel very confident with our psychological team, Les Pico, and what he does in the process, and the time we spent with these players on if we feel comfortable bringing them into our situation or bringing them into our locker room or not. And we have a very good feel on who we would and wouldn't bring in. And there are some players, you know, just to be honest with you, that regardless of where they're graded, whether they're a top-round player or potentially a later round, that we wouldn't bring in at all, even as a free agent. So those are the decisions that you are trying to make on some of these character guys. Some guys we can say maybe not take at the point in the draft where he could potentially get drafted or where his talent is, but we'll take a swing if he's still there in the next round. So we have a lot of different scenarios that we went through from that standpoint. Just talking about our coaches, and the one thing that we really did is what you're seeing a lot coming out of college is these linebackers / 3-4 outside linebackers / defensive pass rush specialists / defensive ends. Our scouts, when we were in a February meeting, and myself, we identified 13 of those guys that are potential, what are they, tweeners. And what we did is we sat with our coaching staff. Our coaches did a great job analyzing what they thought. Our coaches went out and worked these players out. And when we came back in our meeting, okay, this guy can or can't play in our system. And that's the most important thing, is that everybody being on the same page. And regardless of what's said out there publicly or, you know, what you guys do with your mock drafts and stuff, we have a very specific plan on whether a player can play for us or not play for us according to Coach Zimmer's scheme. And that was a situation we did with Anthony Barr last year. So you, as you guys know, and I'm just reading your guys' mocks, that there are a lot of situational pass rushers like that. So some guys, we may just go by just because we don't feel comfortable with them fitting in with what we're trying to do defensively. Others are going to come into play for us. And that's where it's even better from where we're at this point last year to where we're at right now. Because now we've been through it. I've seen how Coach Zim and this staff coaches and develops players, how all our young guys last year responded and continue to get better. So now going into this, we have, I think, as an organization from our personnel and our coaching staff all being together and being on the same page on what we are looking for in players. couple on the draft, just in general, and I know you guys will ask me some questions on this coming up. You know, we're sitting at the 11th spot right now, and, you know, everybody's targeting this guy or that guy. But we are in – I just went through five different scenarios this morning. What if a potential pass rusher falls down? What if a potential offensive lineman, and there's multiple offensive linemen that we're looking at? You know, what if a DB falls down? What if the receivers fall down? So I can tell you at this point, and we'll have it resolved by Thursday, we are wide open on any direction that we're going to go. There is no one set honed in. We're taking this position and moving forward. We are going to go. I think this draft is a little unique after we developed our draft board. And you look at maybe those top five or six players and how we graded this draft. I think from when you get seventh, eighth player down to the 20th player, I don't know if there's that much difference. We think they're all very talented, but they're all very close in talent. So the benefit to that is that you have an opportunity now to fill a need. If you feel, you know, potentially this defensive player, this offensive player at those different positions are that close, then what are we going to do to fill a need? And I think we'll be able to fill some needs in this draft by the way our board developed. The other thing that you really have to look at, and we've been through some scenarios in the second round, in the third round, and I even threw fourth round scenarios up today. And if you go this direction at this position at 11, okay, we still need to fill another hole at this position. Where's the depth in the second round? Can we still get that depth in the second round? Or is it there in the third round? So there's a lot of scenarios where I picked four or five names, the combination of names, and what makes us the best football team to improve from last year. So as of today, it's very wide open on any direction that we're going to go. As always, you know, I'm looking forward to potentially moving out of that pick, if at all possible. I don't anticipate us moving up at this point, but I do, and hopefully, you know, I would love to get an opportunity to move down and collect more picks. You know, my goal is always to have 10 picks for each draft, and one of the reasons for that is you get an opportunity to move up and down throughout the draft. Right now, I don't know if we have the full ammunition, or I don't want to say ammunition, the full currency that you need to manipulate in a draft. We may just stick at 11 this year, and there's a player that falls to us that is just too good that we're not going to pass. We're just going to take him and then just see what happens after that. But like every year, you never know what happens on draft day. You try to pick through and analyze and put yourself in a million different scenarios and situations, but you don't know until you actually get in the game and get rolling. So very excited about Thursday to come. I think, like I said, everybody's ready to just move on and get onto the game. And I know we're going to be able to add some football players that are going to be of tremendous value to this franchise. Questions?
Rick, you talk about taking the next step in analytics. What kind of things are you looking at?
We just took the next step. Next question.
Is that working with an outside group?
We're working with – we hired a consultant outside, and we really – I don't want to get into it because I think we're doing some unique things from an analytics standpoint. And this guy – I'm not going to say if it's a guy or a female, but this person is a lot smarter than I am in spinning numbers. It was very interesting, the concepts they came up with. This is what this guy's profession is, and we have Scott Kuhn, who's a pro, one of our pro scouts, and Mike Band, who works in our office and really does a great job on the analytics side, taking all this information, and you have to have someone translate French to English. So let's say the analytics guy is English, and he's talking about, you know, GR3 algorithm. To be honest with you, I don't know what the heck that means. But then they can explain it to me maybe a little bit more where it can come down and I can understand it. But again, I'm so smart that I have to take it down another level to explain it to Coach Zim and the rest of the staff. But no, it's something that, you know, we just finished up. They've done a great job. We've looked at the drafts over the last 5 or 6 years. It entailed all the players that are currently in the NFL, and it entailed a lot of the data that we have collected in numerous areas, and kind of came up with just different things on make sure this guy is, you know, from an analytics standpoint, and it's more used for breaking ties. Okay, so if we've had multiple discussions on 3 or 4 guys at a position that are clunked in. And, you know, I got 8 different opinions on those guys. The analytics will kind of tie in and kind of help break those ties a little bit on potentially from an analytical side. You're always going to go back and go what you know on the tape. And you're always going to make the decisions based on your experience and your gut. But the analytics really, really came in and, you know, it played a part in drafting McKinnon last year. So I think it does have some value. It's not the be-all, the end-all, but it's another tool that I think the more and more we use it and the more it evolves each year, it's becoming a pretty good tool for us.
You talked about moving around in the draft, collecting extra picks, what have you. Is that because, and you can toot your own horn, I guess, if you want to, you've had
I don't toot my own horn.
You've had a lot of success doing that in recent years. Like
it's not – I just look at it as an opportunity. You know, when you're collecting picks in that third day, and especially when you get into those 6th and 7th rounds, I think those are very valuable. And my philosophy is if you have 2 or 3, 4 picks in those 6th and 7th rounds, you can take those best players that are down at the end of your board – and you don't have to go out there and compete after the draft in free agency. So, to me, the more players or more prospects you can get into the boat, the better chance you have hitting on 1 or 2. I wish I could say we were that brilliant that we could hit on all 3, 4, 5 of those guys in the late rounds. But I know I have a lot better odds if I have 8 guys in there instead of just 2 guys in there. So I've always believed if we can move back, and we've traded back a lot in the third day to collect picks, if it's possible, that you get more swings at guys so that you could potentially hit on, you know, a guy last year, example, because we made a trade, we were able to get Shamar, and he ended up being a pretty good player for us. You know, we Kendall James we ended up cutting, but I would take 2 or 3 guys to find one. I think it's definitely worth the risk. No, I don't think so. I think it always comes down to, you know, if they're targeting a specific guy and they want to come up to get that guy and they don't think that guy can fall down, well, maybe they think the value is, you know, I don't care about the 7th round pick, but if I can get my guy that I know I'm sure of, then I'll take a shot. I'd rather do it that way. So it's just different ways. No, there's no right way or wrong way. No one's ever right or ever wrong. It's worked well both ways. You know, I think the 11th pick is very appealing as a potential trade spot, depending on what falls down there, because we're out of that top 10 round. So all of a sudden, that fifth-year option is decreased dramatically from if you were up in the top 10. And you're getting the best of the rest out of that top 10. You know, one of the reasons that I'm looking at when we traded for Matt Cassel, it was very important when we did some of the moving around and things that we did that we got that top pick, and if we're the first pick in the 5th round. To me, that's very valuable, because if there are teams that are hungry to come up and get a guy and you're right at the top of that fifth round, that's a lot more appealing than if you're picking, you know, 28th in the fifth round. So strategically, I try to even look at where our draft picks are in the rounds and how appealing can those draft picks be as far as someone, you know, thinking that's an appealing place to come up and get a player. So not only are you thinking that, you know, we did some analytics too on sweet spots in the rounds. So what's the difference between the 30th player at the bottom of the first and the 14th player in the top half of the second? Is there that much value difference? Or when you go back and look at history, has there been anything different from that guy becoming successful to maybe the 13th pick in the second round becoming successful? But then I also been very aggressive on moving back up in. So if we have a guy that's above that 30th pick that we got higher in the first round, then I see value to getting up there to go get that guy. So there's just a lot of moving parts, and it's happening a lot on draft day. And, you know, you think about all these things as you go through the process, but then when draft day comes, you can go in with a plan, but, you know, it's like game. Things happen, and then you adjust, and you move on the fly.
Ricky talked about the players ranked.
No, we're probably still looking. We're just looking to add the best football players we can. And at what points in the draft can we add those? I mean, you guys wrote all about our needs. I think the one thing that we really do is, you know, we're not real big into the free agency and going out and doing the spending spree. I'd rather sign, a bunch of guys that are maybe one-year prove-it deals, and we've had some success with the Jerome Feltons of the world and the Tom Johnsons of the world to fill needs that way. And, again, if you can sign a lot more of those guys, you just got a better chance of potentially hitting on one or two. Plus, I know in free agency, and I know this isn't a free agency thing, we're looking forward down the road, because I know we have some pretty decent young players that are going to be eventually coming up in free agency, and the theme has been to draft well and to pay those guys, because those are the guys you know the best. Wow. Is this our first Adrian Peterson question? Are we getting off the draft stuff? I will tell you this, and we can just end the Adrian Peterson stuff. Our position has not changed since all of the statements we've made down at the owners' meetings, okay? Adrian Peterson is under contract. His suspension was lifted. We're looking forward to having Adrian Peterson back here as a Minnesota Viking in 2015, and that's the end of the story. That's it. I think Coach Zimmer stated it pretty clear that we have no interest in trading Adrian Peterson, and we don't. We think that Adrian made a mistake. He's paid the price for that mistake. But I think if our organization didn't believe in Adrian Peterson, he probably still wouldn't be here today. And that's from our ownership on down. And I know, we believe in Adrian Peterson. But I also know that we're a pretty good football team with Adrian Peterson in our backfield as well.
Is Coach Zimmer more active than most coaches in the draft and the personnel? Is it different?
He puts a lot of time in. He has tremendous knowledge of football. And, you know, I know when we listen and when our scouts listen and he's explaining things, you learn something new all the time. He is not the most patient person in the world all the time. We are like opposites that kind of attract. But he has sat in every meeting. He has listened from A to Z on every player, from every position. He comes in, and as we're going through the scenarios for the 8th millionth time, he's sitting in there. I ask him definitely his opinion. Yesterday, like I said, I took the offensive staff. We went in the offensive room. I went and wrote names on the board, not where we would take them, but just clunks of guys on how they saw them, where I think they're going to be. And I did the same thing with the defensive side as well. So we've hammered it out about as hard as you can hammer it out. And, you know, these coaches, they did a lot of these guys down in these later rounds too. I mean, they really spent, after we got through the initial wave and then our scouts put together the board on the back end of that draft and, you know, top of our free agent board, our coaches did a tremendous job during this week when they're done with the players, going back in the afternoons and just looking at some of these guys. And I had numerous coaches coming to me, hey, this guy was kind of appealing as a free agent. So the process is, like I said, still continuing as of today.
Rick, you said that you have no interest in trading Adrian Peterson. Do you have any interest in trading his agent?
Yeah, you know, I understand the business. I've been in the business a long time, and I have the utmost respect for Ben Dahlgren. He is an extremely bright individual. We've done plenty of deals with him. He's successful in the business because he has all those traits to be a very successful agent. And I understand the business side of things, but I also have, like I said, I don't know if I have any more respect of any other agent than Ben Dahlgren.
Rick, you talked about the similarities and talents between, say, players 7 and 20. Does that make it easier for you to maybe trade down and move back a little
bit? It makes it easier to trade down because if you have three or four options, okay, then you can trade down and still get the player. And now, to me, I look at it as you get a player plus another player. But the tricky part of it is, I think you have to really understand how far you can move down and understand the team's needs that are potentially behind you. Okay, if we drop down to just random 17, okay, what are 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 potentially going to do? And can maybe two or three of those guys, if we move down that far and we only have three options, could all three options be gone? And then what are you doing? So that's it's great to pick up and accumulate more picks, but you also, I think, have to be very conscientious of how far you move back and potentially moving back too far where you end up with, oh, now I'm really disappointed. I got two extra picks, but I didn't get any of the players that I love. So that's a balancing act that you really have to be careful of when you're, you know, especially on draft day. I think it's a sense of urgency to get talent around him offensively and defensively. I mean, Teddy's still – he's had a great rookie year, but he still's got a ways to go, and he'll admit that. And he's working extremely hard to even take the next step forward. if we get a defensive player, does that help get our offense back on the field quicker? If we get an offensive player, does it help keep our offense on the field? That's why I don't try to get – okay, we need this offense or defensive guy. We're going to take the best player because I think if you take the best player, it's going to help your offense and it's going to help your defense. So I don't think there is any, okay, it's like kind of when we went through the coaching search. Do you want an offensive head coach or a defensive head? I want the best head coach. And just like that, we want to try to get the best players we possibly can. Oh, I don't, you know, you'd have to ask other teams that, and I'll keep those, you know, we spent time with Shane Ray, and I'll just keep where we feel that confidential.
Rick, you talked about those tweeners, those edge rusher tweeners guys. How do you kind of weigh a guy who might be just a situational guy taking them with a value pick like in the mid first round?
Those are the things that we've had very thorough discussions on. And that's where the coaches really come in and help. We can identify those guys and we can tell you what kind of talent they do have, but are they going to fit from a schematic standpoint? And I can tell you some guys, okay, can they play a stack linebacker on first and second down? Then they rush off the edge on third down. Other guys, well, he can't play stack linebacker, so he's going to have to be a defensive end. And that's all he can do, but he can be a pretty good defensive end as an edge rusher. Other guys, well, he can't play stack, he can't play defensive end, but he's just the only way he's going to help us is on nickel third down situations. So you weigh all those in. And I think the biggest part is those tweener types. And you see a lot of these guys, they're they're more and more every year, 245 to 255 pounds, 60 pounds. And can he grow big enough to be a defensive end? Is he athletic enough to be a linebacker? Can you play, like I said, so as our coaches went out there and worked all these guys out individually, okay, we came back and part of our process was, this is the bucket he goes in, this is the bucket he goes in, this is the bucket he goes in. So we have a pretty good idea of what we would do with each one of those guys.
You mentioned how Mike's obviously an active coach in this time, but do you think the load is a little less on him now because you have a year watching this
team? I just say that it's, you know, we had great communication last year, but it's still great communication, but it's, the difference is now you could almost, I can almost, being around him a year and seeing him, I can almost say what's going to come out of his mouth, you know, just because you got to know him that much and you got to know how his brain works and you got to know on what he likes and what he doesn't like. So from that standpoint and just that experience for a whole year, it's, you know, to the point now where, you know, you can pretty much almost look at each other and know what you're thinking. And that's, I think that's a huge part, and that's an extremely, extremely important relationship to have between the GM and the head coach. We looked at that. That's a whole another different set of analytics. That we've got analytics on, you know, how far you trade back in front and the board. We got analytics on the players and all the different things we collected there. We got analytics on, you know, the successes of positions and where you have to take those. So that's all part of it. There's analytics has become a pretty, a lot more significant part of this than it has been in the past.
Just this year, or is that kind of growing?
I think it's growing and growing each year. But again, I will always tell you that what that player does on tape and what your gut instinct is on that player will be the end result on how you make your decision.
Have you guys made decisions on?
They do a lot of the from a psychological standpoint. We get a lot of different results, combative attitude, social maturity, coachability. Just, you know, we've got 10 different categories that we look at. I'm not going to go into all 10, but those are a couple of examples of it. And in each of those categories, it's weighted differently for each position. So a corner is not going to have the same psychological makeup as a middle linebacker. So on all those things that we test from a psychological standpoint, there may be weighted on the way they answer the test, it's weighted according to their position. But it still comes down to interviewing these players, sitting in front of them, spending time with them, and get to know them as people. And, you know, you've done, and I look back in thousands and thousands of interviews, and you always go back in your head, who's this kid remind you of, and what happened to that kid? Just like you do evaluating players. Okay, who's this kid remind you of on tape? Well, who's this kid remind you of a personality? And then there are guys that, like I said, I just look straight at Coach Zim. Do you want? Can you handle this guy or not handle him? And we talk through that. Some guys that we think that we can handle it, and Coach Zim's favorite saying is, well, I'm going to need a baseball bat. We can handle them.
Time for two more.
Have you made decisions on fifth-year options for Matt Khalil?
Yeah, Harrison? We'll announce those here coming up shortly. I'm going to get through the draft.
Did you talk to all the top players, not knowing if you're going to trade up or not, or are there some that you don't even talk to because you're not interested?
I can tell you probably the two we didn't talk to were the two quarterbacks. But besides those two quarterbacks, we've talked to everybody and spent time with all those players.
Seeing what Coach Zimmer did with a lot of the guys that in defense last year, you know, he likes to take the underdogs and kind of warp them and mold them. Does he get more leeway then on that gut instinct when it comes to draft now?
Well, again, don't take me wrong on the analytics. It's just one of the tools, just like the psychological testing's a tool. I mean, it's just a thing. But it's always going to come back to what we feel as a group and what we feel he is as a football player. I mean, that's, I mean, if it was just analytics, then hell, let the damn, I don't have to go out and we don't have to spend all the money and be away from the family and do as much as we do. Just let the computer, you know, pitch out the draft. It's just, I don't want you to get carried away. It's just part of it. But no, I know the thing that I can tell you that's different is just being around Coach Zimmer and see how he handled some of our players internally and what pushes his buttons. It was like, well, Coach, I think this guy is going to push your button a little bit. And you know, that I couldn't say last year because I'd never seen him work with players before. So I would say that, yeah, he, you know, I could truly understand if he's what he's telling me now because I've seen it and seen how he's handled it.
All right.
Thank you.